Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, right back to the subject of spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12. I read again verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now remember that there is a list of a number of spiritual gifts here, but this is not the comprehensive list, and you'll have to pull together this section and a section or two in 1 Corinthians and perhaps one or two in other places to get all of them together. And if you've studied this subject of gifts at all, you'll recognize that there are different ways of counting them, of combining them, of categorizing them, and I've even changed my own mind from time to time as to what categories certain ones go in, how many there are, and so forth. It's not a real easy cut and dried subject, but the general concept is very simple to understand, and that is that every believer is a gifted believer. And every believer needs to use whatever gifts God has given to him for the honor and glory of Christ. And as I said on the broadcast yesterday, I say it again today, the question is not if you have a gift. The question is, how do you use the gifts, plural, that God has given to you? How and where? That's the question. Not if, but how and where. And every one of us should be looking for answers to that question. Now, furthermore, I think it's clear that there are at least three different categories of gifts. There are speaking gifts, there are service gifts, and there are sign gifts. And here in Romans chapter 12, I think that we probably have one sign gift mentioned, two speaking gifts mentioned, and four service gifts. And so far, we have looked at the one sign gift, which is prophecy, and not everybody puts that into the category of a sign gift, but I think it probably would best fit into that category. And then secondly, we are looking at the speaking gifts, of which there are two, namely teaching and exhortation. And we're about to finish up teaching and to look at exhortation. I really can't go back to what I said on the broadcast yesterday and the day before about teaching, but I want to say this. If you have been gifted to teach, then you should teach. Here's what Martin Luther said, and I quote, "Some who are called to teach shirk their responsibility. Others who are not equipped covet this function," end quote. And how true that is. How true that is. I'll say it again. Martin Luther's quotation. Some who are called to teach shirk their responsibility. Others who are not equipped covet this function, end quote. Anyone who's pastored for any period of time has encountered both of these attitudes, these wrong attitudes, and has had to deal with them, no doubt. Some who are called and equipped to teach, for some reason, don't want to accept their God-given gift. They don't want that responsibility. They don't want that work. They shirk their responsibility. They shrink back from it. I'm not sure why, but that is true. And then there are always those who want to teach, but don't demonstrate any particular aptitude for it. That's a problem too. You're always glad when somebody is eager to serve the Lord, wants to, volunteers to, but it's a great burden upon the people of God when someone who really is not at all gifted in that area thinks he or she is and insists upon serving the Lord in that way, and that's not the way that you are called and equipped to serve the Lord. And you will be so much more fulfilled if you will learn what your gifts are and be content and thankful and honored to serve the Lord in the way that He has gifted you, rather than being determined to serve the Lord in the way that He has not gifted you, but in the way that He's gifted somebody else. Now, one reason why people often desire the teaching gift, the teaching area of service, is because they have benefited from it. They've benefited from the teaching of others. They know how much it has meant to them. They have admired others who have been used of God to teach them. They see them in that kind of conspicuous, upfront position. They have honored them and admired them. They know that other people honor them, admire them, and so they would like to have that function for themselves. They would like to be able to benefit others in the way that these people have benefited them. That's a good motive. And in some cases, they would like to be honored and admired in the way that these other people are. That may not be such a good motive, but it's understandable why some people would desire these areas of ministry, these areas of serving God. But I say it again, if you are not called to that, if you are not equipped for that, then you are actually doing more harm than good. Surely, you have had the painful experience of having to sit under the preaching or teaching ministry of somebody who really just wasn't very competent. How painful that is. How difficult that is. It makes everybody uncomfortable. It makes everybody squirm. Everybody's sitting there thinking, somebody ought to tell this guy, somebody ought to tell this lady that they really just aren't competent to teach. They really need to quit doing it and let somebody else who's truly gifted and qualified and competent do it. Because as long as they insist upon doing it, they are keeping someone else from doing it. But they're just not benefiting the people of God. It's a very distressing situation. So, do not attempt to exercise the teaching gift if you are not sufficiently gifted, nor should you attempt to exercise this gift if you are not sufficiently equipped. I talked about that on the broadcast yesterday, or was it the day before, but I've talked about that already. That the fact that you have been given a gift to teach doesn't automatically mean that you are equipped and ready to do it right now. This gift needs some training and developing. Please understand that. You may be gifted to teach, but if you are determined to exercise your gift without training, without equipping, if you're one of these people that believe that just because you're gifted, you can take the gift that's given to you by the Holy Spirit, and with the leading and the guidance and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you can just exercise that gift, and you don't need any training, thank you. Well, you're not going to make people feel as uncomfortable as the person who has no teaching gift. That's really painful, to sit under the stumbling, bumbling attempts of someone to teach who really just doesn't have that ability. You may have the ability and therefore can speak well, but you're still going to do damage to the body of Christ. You are going to teach error, no doubt, at times instead of truth. You're too proud to think that that's possible for you. You just seem to think that you can just open the Bible and understand it perfectly, and the Holy Spirit will teach you what it says, and you don't need anybody else to do so. But, of course, just think for a moment logically. If that were true, then why should anybody listen to you? Why don't they just all get it directly from the Holy Spirit, like you say you are? Why should anybody listen to you teach if it's not necessary for people to be trained, but just simply to be taught by the Holy Spirit themselves with the Bible and nothing else, to be led by the Holy Spirit? Why doesn't everybody else do that instead of listening to you? Well, it's evident from the Scripture that God uses teachers, God uses preachers. So we understand that, but what sometimes we fail to understand is that God uses preachers and teachers to train and better equip preachers and teachers. Not just the general saints of God that are equipped for serving God by the ministry of God called teachers, but it is teachers themselves that are equipped for effective ministry by God called teachers. If anybody should listen to you teach, if anybody could possibly benefit from your teaching, then you need to realize that you can and should benefit from the teaching of others. And we are so blessed in our day to have so many resources that were not available to our forebears. We can pull off of the shelves of a well-equipped library the most excellent teachers of bygone eras who are available to us today. What are they but teachers? Maybe not living. Many of these men were pastors in their day who preached to congregations, living preachers preaching to living people. But in many cases, what they preached and taught has been committed to writing. It is in books. It is on shelves. And it still speaks to people today who are willing to learn, who don't have the attitude, I don't need any book learning. I'm a God-called preacher. I'm a God-called teacher. I don't need any of that. Well, I'm sorry, but you do. We all do. The apostles had to be equipped and trained by Christ for 3 years before they were ready to minister. Paul, equipped and trained men under him, Titus and Timothy are primary examples, before they were ready to be on their own in their preaching and teaching ministry. And Paul taught Timothy to do the same thing with others, to teach faithful men and equip faithful men so that they may be able to teach others also. This is an ongoing process, and there is the necessity of a certain amount of teaching, training, equipping, and preparation that is necessary in every generation for every preacher or teacher. So do not attempt to exercise this gift if, number one, you are not sufficiently gifted, and number two, if you're not sufficiently equipped. And the best way to determine whether or not you are sufficiently gifted is to listen to the multitude of counselors of others. Listen to what the church at large has to say about your giftedness. Don't be so pig-headed as to think that you are the only one who determines whether or not you have been given the gift to teach. Pride, spiritual blindness, has led many a person into a pit in this very area. You need to listen to others. If you are gifted to teach, others will recognize it. I'm not saying you won't recognize it, but others will recognize it as well. And that is a good curb upon our pride. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.